Good morning, River Church. It's a little after 8 o'clock in the morning, and the school facilities director called me a little while ago and said that the plow equipment at the Griswold School was not working, and they were not able to prepare the campus for us or any of the other activities that are scheduled for this morning. And so I apologize for the late notice, but we've got word up on Facebook. I've emailed a number of you and working the phone tree as well to get word out. I will be at the campus this morning around 9:30, from 9:30 this morning until 10, just on the off chance anyone does show up. And my plan is, if anyone does show up at the campus, I'll probably be heading to Panera to grab some coffee and some a mid-morning breakfast. And so if by some chance you don't get the word out, I apologize for that. But the good news is maybe we can have breakfast together. So disappointing to not be in church with you this morning again, but understandable, and we will keep moving forward. I have a snow day devotional prepared for you that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. We have been speaking the last month or so about answering this question, who is Jesus Christ? And we've looked at the perspective from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We saw that Jesus is God's divine provision for the planet. That's the theme of all of the Gospels, that when God looks to show us, humans, people, the depth of his love for us, he did it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each added a little bit to that. We saw that Matthew had a kingly theme and Mark had an authoritative man of action theme. Luke had a theme where Jesus is the one who paves the way for the Holy Spirit. And the Gospel of John most recently showed us that Jesus Christ is God's perfect word to the world. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to start asking the question and answering the question, now what? What happens now? Now that the disciples have met Jesus Christ and they witnessed his death, burial, and resurrection, what do they do? What are they supposed to do with this information, with this knowledge, with this experience of Jesus? And then we're going to be talking about what does that mean for us as a new church. So this morning, I'd like to share with you a scripture by way of transition that comes from the final chapter in the book of Luke. And it's Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. I'd like to share these scriptures with you, and we'll probably be taking a closer look at them next week in church. Because Luke not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts, which answers the question, now what? What did the disciples do after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing what they knew about Jesus? However, before we jump into the book of Acts, there is a transition passage located in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. And again, we'll look at it in more detail next week when we get together. However, I do want to focus just briefly our attention on this passage this morning. Here's what Luke writes. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The Bible continues. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So Jesus clearly commands his disciples to do a few things, and we're going to be taking a look at this next week. But here's kind of the thought that I'd like to spend just a few moments sharing with you this morning. See, the disciples at this time were in a place where in their hearts and in their minds, they didn't want Jesus to go anywhere. They had come to understand that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the King who welcomes those who come. He was the authoritative man of action who brings godly change. He's the one who paves the way for the Holy Spirit. He is God's perfect word to the world. And they were just coming up to speed with this knowledge about who Jesus was. They didn't want him to go anywhere. And so they're grieving because they've just had this incredibly traumatic week witnessing Jesus's crucifixion. But now he's back, and their expectation is that he is going to stay and reign on the earth with them, and they don't want to be commanded to go and do stuff without him. And this is kind of where their heart is at. And so kind of the question that I'd like to address this morning is, why did Jesus go? Why didn't he just stay and begin ruling? What made him feel that he needed to go back to heaven and allow the disciples this new opportunity? That's a tough question, and I don't have the perfect answer, but I do have a story. Once upon a time, a number of years ago now, I was a missionary pilot. And for a lot of people, they don't even know what that means, and that's understandable. It meant that I had the training of a commercial airline pilot, but I flew for missionaries and their families living in foreign countries. In my case, it was in Haiti. And Trish and I were missionaries, and we raised our support, and I flew airplanes and fixed airplanes and loaded up stuff on airplanes and was a blessing to hundreds of missionary families living in the countries of Haiti and the Dominican Republic and the Bahamas. We did emergency flights. We did regular flights. We supported the work of missions on the island of Hispaniola. And it was an amazing opportunity, and I absolutely loved being a missionary pilot. However, as you know, that's not something that I do anymore. Why would I leave something that sounds like such an amazing ministry opportunity? Funny enough, soon after I started flying and working as a missionary pilot, I began to experience just a small degree of discontent. It had nothing to do with my work environment. It had nothing to do with what I was doing. It had really nothing to do with the people that I was working with, because we were all Christians doing amazing things, doing things that pretty much everyone respects. You know, how cool is that? That you're a missionary pilot and you fly stuff around and you help people. Like, why would you want to do anything other than that? That being said, I started to experience just a degree of discontent, because I realized that I never had any true opportunities to talk about Jesus with anyone who hadn't already heard about him, who had already made decisions of faith. I spent all of my time living, working, and serving with fellow Christians, which was really cool, but it made a part of me feel just a little discontent, because I love Jesus and I want to talk about him to people who have never heard of him before, so that they too might make a decision of faith. And as the years went by, this feeling grew, and it grew to the point that I realized maybe I wasn't going to be a missionary pilot for my entire life. And those that worked with me struggled with that. They felt that I had all this training, I had all this experience, and I did a good job, and people liked working with me, and I liked working with them. Why would you leave that position? And the answer was, or at least part of the answer was, I really had a desire to talk to people about Jesus and the Bible and faith who had never heard before, who had never met someone who would take the time to share these kinds of things with them. And so we ended up transitioning. And as you're aware, I'm now a pastor in a church. And I entered into a phase in my life where I picked up another job flying airplanes for an airline, for Delta Connection, and I was not in a Christian environment anymore. And while I did not enjoy the same relationships and missional purpose that I did as a missionary pilot, there was a part of my life that really came alive, and that was all of the opportunities that I had to talk about my faith in Jesus Christ and how much it meant to me. And I loved my time flying as an airline pilot. And then when I had an opportunity to come along and be a part of a church, it was very apparent to me that as a pastor, I would get the best of both worlds. I could be a man of faith, working with Christians and non-Christians, having opportunities to talk about Jesus. So why do I share this story with you this morning? It's not a great parallel. It's not a perfect metaphor of what we see in the scripture this morning. But one of the things that the disciples needed to understand was that Jesus really believed that the best gospel presence on the planet would be through the power of His Holy Spirit working through His church. That the disciples were now going to learn and experience things that they could never learn and experience if Jesus didn't go away. And so even as I left Missionary Flights International and stopped being missionary pilot, part of the reason for that was because I had a true desire to talk about Jesus with those who had never heard before. It's kind of like what Jesus is doing here with the disciples. He's telling them, hey guys, we know what it looks like when Jesus is on the planet. We know that. We've had 3 years of that. We know what it looks like. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, however, He is making the gospel available to the whole world, and now it is time for the disciples to begin talking about that with people that they know and love. And of course, today we now call that the church. We're going to spend some more time looking at this passage and picking up a few more things when we get together next. But I appreciate your time this morning. I hope you enjoy your time with your family. Hope you're able to get some snow removed before the deep freeze sets in later tonight. I do have one brief announcement for us, which is good news, which is that we are having a fiesta party Saturday, and it will be hosted at the Griswold Fire Department on Route 138 in Griswold. We'll have more information about that available on our website and on Facebook, but that is moving forward. And so that's actually the next time we'll get together is for tacos and burritos on Saturday night and then church on Sunday morning. Thanks for listening this morning. Let me pray with us as I conclude. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to connect again using technology. It makes us look forward even more to our times together as a church. We have a special opportunity this morning to spend more time with our family and our loved ones that You have blessed us with. And we thank You for our families. We thank You for the people that we get to do life with. We also thank You for our church. And we ask, Father, that You would continue to look over and provide for us while we are apart and have this little snow break. And we look forward to being together again this time next week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.